advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flight.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery. Eric's right on top of it there. Eric Ostrowski is our producer. In for Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions this week is Josh Wolkin of Huggins and Scott Auctions. Josh, you've been at the National all week in Atlantic City. How things been going there?
Real good, Tom. Real good.
A lot of big crowd or good stuff?
Yeah, both. Been popular and you know, had consignments and shown people stuff and taking bids and registering people. Yes.
Okay, so it's all good. Now, I've been following on the Huggins and Scott Auction bidding ends August 11th, so I've got a bunch of items written down here with what the bid is at now, which a lot of times that has nothing to do with what the final bid's going to be, but it's still kind of interesting to find out what things are at right now, what's off to a hot start. For instance, remember, Vince, we were talking about this 1960 Topps Baseball Series 2 unopened cello box, a 36-pack box. You know what that's at right now?
It's got to be a lot.
$20,000. Wow. And, Josh, don't you think that's probably not the end for the bidding on that baby?
Definitely not.
Yeah, isn't that something? Wow. Unopened product? How have you seen much? Have people been bringing any by and asking you about it, any unopened product vintage stuff?
I wouldn't say that's been the thing that people have been bringing by most, but there have certainly been a lot of people interested in it and looking at it, and most of the time it's wow.
Yeah, it really is wow. I don't know if I believe this story or not, but a couple of months ago I had an elderly gentleman who came in and said that he had, from the late 50s, an unopened box of packs. And I'm like, are you sure about that? And I'm pointing, you know, to some of the stuff. He goes, yeah, I'm sure I've got something. And he goes, he didn't really believe in auctions, but I was telling him what some of the stuff had been going for in Huggins and Scott, the unopened stuff. He goes, well, maybe I do believe in auctions. Okay. So about a couple weeks after that, he comes back and I go, yeah, well, you know, so what's going on? Did you find the box? He goes, my wife sold it in a garage sale for $20 about a year ago.
Oh.
Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't know if this whole thing was just a story, but doesn't that make you sick?
If that's true, I don't know how you get past the gut punch, just feeling that for a while.
Oh, think about it. I had told him the first day when he was like, I don't know about auctions. I go, that type of product, it's so hot, you have to auction that, you know, with a legitimate, like, Huggins and Scott Auctions, because you just don't even know what, if you were going to sell it outright, you don't know what you should sell it for. I mean, the sky's kind of the limit on some of this stuff. So I feel bad for him if he really had that and they really did do that.
So on the 60 Topps, what's going to be the most valuable card potentially in that set?
I think that had the Yastrzemski rookie, if I remember right, was showing, and there was a Mantle Ken, or was it Cleet Boyer or Ken Boyer? Double card.
Ken
Boyer. Yeah, so I mean, those are good cards right there. The Yaz is one of the biggies, but those were showing on the pack, so you know those are in there. That's like they have I think it's a PSA 8 graded 1986 Fleer basketball pack, which I think those packs typically will sell now for over $1,000 for an 86 Fleer pack, but this pack in the Huggins and Scott auction already with 4 days left is at $2,700 because you can tell, I guess you can kind of see through the top of the wrapper that there's a Jordan rookie in the pack.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's another one. Who knows what that's going to go, because the Jordan rookie itself, like there's a PSA 9 Michael Jordan rookie card in the Huggins and Scott auction that's already at $4,500.
Jeez.
That every time I see that now, I was so close to getting one about 5 years ago. Those were at a real downturn, and a guy was going to sell me one for $600 or $800 and bring it in on the weekend, and he never did. Oh, the nine.
Wow.
And I had had one that was, I sold for like $1,900, and I felt bad because they had dropped. But now, I mean, the sky's kind of the limit on the Michael Jordan Fleer stuff too. So, and also the Michael Jordan star card that they have going. it's all tied together here. There's a lot of stuff. BGS 85 1984 star card number 101 Michael Jordan card. It's at $6,500 after with 4 days left on that. And I think there's still room to go on that.
Absolutely.
One, too.
And you get two guys up on the last day battling back and forth and just,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, you never know. Without a doubt.
Yep.
There's not a lot of those that are out there. But, you know, I don't think I even told people what the number is and that we're giving away prizes and all this stuff. We got right into it. The number is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call with a question about the value of your collectibles. If you think you have something that might be good in a Huggins and Scott auction, give us a call. And we are giving away a great prize package this week, a box of 2016 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions and a box of 2016 Panini Certified Football. So you're looking at over $150 worth of unopened boxes there, even if you don't open. You would never open those either, would you, Vince, those two boxes?
It would be real hard to resist that. You know me, you know.
The smiley face would be on there.
That's the fun of it for me, is opening up those products.
It's like getting a Christmas present. Right. You know there's something in there, you just don't know if you're going to like it or
Christmas
not.
Christmas every day at Triple Crown in Naperville.
That's right. So the number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call, and you'll get in the drawing. If you win the drawing, then ERC Delivery will deliver the prize free of charge directly to your door. Now, we had a caller last week who had first time he had heard the show and called in. This is Tim from Hinsdale. He stopped in yesterday and dropped some stuff off for the October Huggins and Scott auction. He had a nice collection of Hall of Fame autographs that he had sent away for all this stuff in 1975. He had guys like Koufax and DiMaggio. And he also had some vintage cards, which signed vintage cards are hotter than they were 5-6 years ago, especially the good players. Now, Josh, I was recommending, and he's sending in four of his vintage cards that were signed. There's a 1939 play ball Carl Hubbell. I think he had a Koufax from around 1960. Four nice cards, and a couple of them just looked beautiful. Now, when you guys, if a collection comes to you, you guys will contact the consigner and recommend whether something should be graded or not when you get your stuff, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, absolutely. We sometimes they do need to be graded just to maximize the final dollar value for them.
And yeah, you guys handle so much of this. If you go through Huggins and Scott and you search, they have by categories. So if you want to just search, for instance, ungraded lots World War II or pre-war lots, or and you see how much stuff they have, then they have a section for graded stuff. I mean, they see so much of the vintage stuff. It must kind of stand out to your guys when they see the really nice copy of like a Mickey Mantle 1957 card. They see a lot of mid to low grade to kind of higher grade. And all of a sudden, here's a gem. And they're like, oh, we got to get that one graded. Then they call the guy and tell him.
Yes, That's right. And it, you know, it, there's lots of times that it makes sense for us to go ahead and grade upper, mid to higher grade cards, just because the value on those at this point in time in our industry is skyrocketing.
It really is.
It really is. It's kind of unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but there was a Opeachy Gretzky rookie that sold at auction by one of the guys here.
I saw that.
Did you see that? $480,000.
Yeah, wasn't it the only 10? And to me, I don't know how that card even gets a 10. Was there any discussion about that?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
It was what it was.
Yeah. I mean, because I guess that Opeachy, those rookie cards, they cut all of them and they just kind of didn't have real solid edges. So I guess that's just part of the card. So I guess from that standpoint, it makes sense, but it doesn't look perfect like a typical when you're looking at a 10, because I guess you couldn't have almost a perfect card from there. So they had to grade it based on what the best could be of that, I guess. I don't know. I don't always completely understand the grading. But all I do know is that if you have a really nice-looking copy, an original card of a Hall of Famer or a real good money-type card, and it's in great shape, Josh is 100% right. In this day and age, it definitely helps the value of that item if you get it graded. Some of the high grade prices are just incredible. Think if that guy hadn't gotten that card graded and he just put it up for auction.
Wow.
I mean, what would it have gone for? It wouldn't have gone for anywhere near that.
Subtract a few zeros.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, probably. That's probably right. We've got Roger from Watsika on the line. What's new, Roger? What do you have?
Well, I've got a rookie set of R Tops from 69, all basketball, with Jabbar on it. When it was the rookie cards that came out in 69,
yeah.
It was all
oversized.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was Lou Alcindor was his name at that time on the card, correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Now, just to give you an idea, okay, I don't know how good a condition you have, but Huggins and... Okay, well, listen to this. Huggins and Scott has a PSA 8 graded Lou Alcindor rookie card. And now 8 isn't even the top. 10 is the top grade that you can get. But 8s are real nice and they're tough to get, especially on an oversized card like that. But it's tough to get a vintage card 8. Is that right, Josh, that's at $4,000 already, that PSA 8 Alcindor 1969 Topps rookie card?
That is correct.
$4,000 and with 4 days left. So, Roger, what you might want to do sometime is bring your set in to see me at Triple Crown in Naperville, and we can look them over, and I can give you an idea if you have a shot, you know, at a high grade on some of the better cards in there. And then if you want to send them in to Huggins and Scott, you know, to auction that set, they'll get the key cards graded if it looks like you can get an 8 or a 9 or a, can you imagine?
Wow.
What would a 10 go for, Josh? Are there even any 10s of that as far as you know?
Not as far as I know.
Yeah.
Not as far as I know.
Oh my gosh. How nice are those, Roger?
Perfect.
Wow. Oh.
Have you had the set since 69 or did you buy it since then or?
I got it in 69.
Really? Wow. So you just opened them out of packs at the time?
Yes.
Where did you even find packs in 1969? As a kid, I never remember seeing, once in a while I'd see football packs. I never saw basketball packs or hockey packs. Of course, it's not like I was, you know, around town or whatever. But where
I
we would.
I found them in Green Bay. I found them in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Really? Oh. Now that's like the last place you would have thought. I mean, they don't have basketball there. And here in the Chicago area, you couldn't find. Well, yeah. Maybe you could, but I just didn't know where I was looking. But anyway, so do you have doubles also, Roger, or do you just have the full set?
Yes, got full set.
Roger, if I had the cash register machine sound on the computer. Oh, look at Eric. He's all over it. Yes. Okay, if you can, Roger, bring it in to see me. I'm Tom at Triple Crown in Naperville, 630-357-7707. I'll let you know what it looks like to me.
630 what?
357-7707. And if we'll set up a time, you bring it in, we'll look it over. I'll let you know if any of them look like to me, like I'm not the greatest eye on that stuff, but I can tell you, I can usually tell you for sure, you don't want to get that graded if it's got soft corners or off center or whatever. But if these look really sharp and you want to send them into the October Huggins and Scott auction, you'd still have time to get some of them graded and get it in that auction.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I'd get on that, you know, as soon as you can if you think you're going to want to do that.
Will do.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Roger. Now I want to see
that. Yeah, minimally take a picture and email it to you. I'd love to just see what it looks like.
Right, yeah. If he brings that, whenever people bring stuff like that into Triple Crown, a lot of times I post pictures of them and talk about them on the show even. I post them on Twitter and talk about them on the show, and then if I do, you get in the drawing that way, too. So now the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 9, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a box of 2016 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions and a 2016 Panini Premium Certified Football Box. So it's a good prize package. We're on till 9. Give us a call and hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Hello. My name is Barack Obama. I have to tell you so that you'll spell it right and it doesn't come out Obama-nama-nama. I will take a tall, non-fat latte, a caramel drizzle, and unless it's the color of my skin, you made it wrong.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Josh Wolkin from Huggins and Scott Auctions in for Bill Huggins this week, and our producer Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number here is 312-332-3776. Great prize package this week, a box of 2016 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions and a 2016 Panini Certified Football Box. Joel, one of our regular customers, was in yesterday, and Alan, another regular customer, sent a video. Alan and one of his friends were at the National, and I think they had to open a case or cases of something to get into some Upper Deck thing. And Joel had a video of Alan playing, what is it called, Papa Shot or whatever, that basketball game,
okay, sure,
right next to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons was a number one draft pick,
cool.
And a lot of guys compare his physique and talents to LeBron, like a young LeBron. And Alan's in this thing. Alan just firing up the shots, you know, Ben Simmons just kind of going underhand with them. But what made me think of that, Ben Simmons does have autographs in this Upper Deck Goodwin Champions. I haven't seen any come out yet, but he does have some signed cards in there. I guess Upper Deck got the exclusive for him, which I'm never happy about that. That might be good for Upper Deck, but it's not good for card collectors when Panini has the exclusive rights to NBA basketball product and the number one draft pick and Michael Jordan and LeBron can't get in there. The NBA's got to do something about that. First off, Upper Deck should have a basketball license because, to me, they were the best at doing basketball products. They've got Jordan. They've got LeBron. Now they have Ben Simmons. Get them their license back. Forget this exclusive thing. Just let each company do less products. So,
it doesn't, but, like, flood the market on the other side of the coin. Doesn't flood the market too much if everybody could just, you know, put
no,
a guy
it doesn't
out there.
If they limit the amount. Yeah. Like, for instance, right now, Panini has, let's say they do 24 products or whatever. Okay, let Panini do 12 and Upper Deck do 12. You know what I mean? Right. Just split it that way. They'd each pay a cheaper amount to the NBA, but they'd end up getting the same amount of product. And let each company do the best products that they do. It would be better for everybody, I think. But to me, the league, why can't they just have an exclusive for autographs, like, outside of packs of cards? I don't think the league, from their standpoint, shouldn't even allow exclusive autograph deals outside. And I don't know all the legalese to it. But what do you think? Did you do much with the newer packs, Josh? Is that something that, you're on top of at all, or do you not really follow that much?
I'm not. That's not really what we follow or what I follow. We have guys in our offices who definitely do, and some of the newer boxes, and we sell them. And,
yeah.
And certainly some of the newer cards, the high-end, you know, we call them shiny stuff,
yeah.
for lack of anything else. They definitely have a very, very strong market right now as well. And there's some in this auction that are doing quite well.
Yeah, you've got some great ones in there. I know you had a Steph Curry rookie auto and a LeBron. So, yeah, they do real. That's right. And some of the auction houses don't ever take any of that newer stuff. But when you look at the values of some, I heard something. Another thing I heard, I think, that from info coming from the National, didn't LeBron just have a, I don't even know what card it was, that sold for over $100,000. Did you hear that, Josh?
I did not.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't surprise me.
No, I mean
it wasn't a booklet signed 16 times, was it?
No, with Vince Clementi's fingerprints on it. No, I think you did real well with that one.
I think
Vince.
So too.
Yeah. But here's some other items that are going in the Huggins and Scott August auction. Bidding began August 1st and ends August 11th. There was a really neat group of signed checks in there, of vintage signed checks. For instance, there's a Babe Ruth dated May 10th, 1940. That's at $1,600. A Ty Cobb dated June 28th, 1930. That's at $300. Hack Wilson, the old Cubs slugger who had a pretty bad drinking problem that I guess led to him passing away at a much early age than he should have and ended his career earlier. He had a check dated August 21st, 1946, which was just a couple years before he did die. That's at $1,000. There's not a ton of Hack Wilson autographs out there. Jackie Robinson, August 1959, $350. There's a good demand for the harder-to-get autographed players when they sign a check, because people are usually pretty confident that they like the idea that that's a real signature on those, don't you think, Josh?
Yes, absolutely. They sort of authenticate themselves, and absolutely there's a real good market and desirability for checks.
Yeah, especially the guys that got like a tougher autograph, like a Hack Wilson, if he didn't like to sign a whole lot of stuff. I can't even imagine. I don't know. I haven't seen a Hack Wilson single signed baseball. I think once in a while they come out there. Those go for tons of money. I mean, that like a check won't go for that type of money, but it still can go for some very good bucks. Then, you know, speaking of Ty Cobb with the Ty Cobb check, here's something that's got a lot of bids on it. The 1909 T206 white borders Ty Cobb. And now this is a green border, I guess. Graded SGC5, and there's none better than that grade of 5. That's at $4,800 and a lot of bids on that one. A lot of times the different variations, the harder to get backs or different color backgrounds on the tobacco cards, those do real well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the green cob, that one, the none better is just specifically for that particular, the green background with the 1909, the 150 subject Piedmont back.
Yes.
So there are other green background Ty Cobbs that have been graded higher, not many, but that have a different back to it.
I see.
They produced a bunch of different backs in the tobacco series.
So that's basically the variation, the highest grade of it then.
Correct.
Yeah. And so that was probably the beginning, or there might even have been variations before 1909 tobacco cards, but that kind of started now how they do variations in different, even brand new products.
Yep.
And those are still popular. Not to the effect of that at this point, but variations of the short printed versions can go for some very good money in some of the newer packs. Let's see. Now, we haven't talked about the 1928 Star Player candy set. This was in it. You saw this,
yes,
didn't you, Vince?
Yes.
Josh, I don't know if I think you heard about this one too. You did because you responded.
I did.
This, the one picture he sent, it didn't look that good. So I didn't know what it would look like in the frames, but, Bob brought these in and they looked really good in the frames. And the thing about it, he had in two frames, he had 72 cards, which he thinks, and I think a lot of people think, there might only have been 72 because the checklist shows Lou Gehrig is a 73rd card, but I don't think anyone has ever seen the Lou Gehrig card, so they might not have actually produced it. And Bob thinks that the guy, an older gentleman, left these to their family in the 60s, and I guess he was really precise about things. Like, he had a background of going through newspapers and clipping out box scores from and keeping them all. He said if the guy they got these cards from, if there was a Lou Gehrig card out there, he would have had it. Yeah. So that gives me a pretty good idea that this could actually be the complete set, but at very worst, it's 72 out of the 73. Yeah. Now, the bad news is they were glued in on pages in the frame. The good news, the fronts of the cards look really nice. And Josh, I think that Bill had said, he emailed me back, he thought that in a Huggins and Scott auction that would do really well because there are guys that different vintage card collectors with different ideas of how they think they can get those off of there and they could still have a really nice card getting them off. And Bob's thinking if he sells them, he kind of liked having it the way it was set up in the frames. Like if he's going to sell it, he wanted to sell it as is. So that might be a best of all both worlds for Bob and everyone, whoever buys it, if they want to keep it fine. But if they know how to get cards off and they want to do it and get the cards graded, then that's great for them too. Right, Josh?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I saw the pictures of that too, Tom, that you sent. And that the Babe Ruth card is gorgeous.
Isn't it?
Really. The front is the displayability of that is top notch. And you're right. And as Bill said, that, you know, you never know, you don't know what, you know, adhesive it was used to get them onto where they currently lie. And so, you know, if it was something that is easily removable, then we'll go with that. You know, and if it's not, then it still looks really, really nice.
Yeah, right. And it's really a good player collection in there, too. I mean, it's not just Ruth, but, I mean, they all look really clean. I don't think they were handled much at all over the years.
The Ty Cobb, Tony Lazzari, this was a beautiful piece.
It really was.
The meticulousness to put this all together, that was amazing. I'm so lucky I was at your store.
Wasn't that neat? And the guy came in, like, right after you came in. It was really good timing.
I could have sat there for hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even in the one frame, he had, the guy's name was Gilbert Benson, and he had I guess he had him in, I don't know how he had him on pages or I don't know, but how they originally got him from this guy, there's a front page of it, 1928 written and Gilbert Benson's name on there. And they framed that into the one frame with these cards too, which I can see why Bob would want to keep it that way if he's going to, I don't know that he's ever going to want to, I think it's going to be hard for him to actually part with it. He might. He said he's going to get back to me in a couple of weeks. I think he wants to think about it. But, and Bill had said if Bob wants to talk to Bill about what to do with the minimum bid on it, because that's kind of a tough one. When you look at these cards, if you go to the population report of 1928 Star Player Candy for both SGC and PSA, a bunch of these cards have never been graded. Wow. And some of the other ones, like a Babe Ruth, there might have been a total of 6 or 8 cards graded with like 1-6 and a couple threes and a couple of ones. I mean, gee, the way he has them, it displays so nicely. It would be really interesting, but very hard to predict just how high this would go for in an auction, but it would be really fun to watch it and
it
see what happens.
It might reach the holy grail level of this type of card.
You never know.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Don't you agree, Josh, that it would be tough to put an estimate of what it might go for? I mean, you could put an estimate on, but it could, who knows?
Very tough. Very tough to put an estimate on that. But you're right. It's the kind of thing that who knows what it could get. And that's the best part of our industry is, you know, and that's why putting something like that up for auction is the best way to do it. To try and come up with a number that the guy wants to get out of it or that he should get out of it or the right number to sell it is almost impossible to do.
It really is. I mean, you kind of leave it up to the vintage card collector crowd and let them bid on it. And boy, if they see that in person, though, you guys do great photography, Josh, on the Huggins and Scott listings. It looks great. I mean, I was surprised because the first pictures he had sent, I was like, that looks okay. But man, it really did look cool. Now we got a tweet from Scott on Twitter ideas, T Crown Tom. I'm going to give a mention to this one. I guess what date is this? August 28th, Sunday from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock PM. Fergie Jenkins is going to be signing for free, Hall of Fame Cub pitcher at Moraine Court in Bridgeview. And, so check that out. I'll retweet this maybe so people can see it. He's got a phone number on here, but that's kind of cool to be able to meet Fergie Jenkins and get a free autograph or two from him, at Moraine Court Supportive Living in Bridgeview. That's kind of interesting. Okay, it's time for a short break now. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We have a great prize package this week, a 2016 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions Box and a Panini 2016 Panini Premium Certified Football Box. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery. Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions is usually on with us. This week he's busy at the National, and Josh Wolkin from Huggins and Scott is on with us doing a great job helping to give us estimates of the value of items. If you think you have something that's valuable or you just think it's cool and you want to call in, we've got a great prize package. The number's 312-332-3776. We're giving away a 2016 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions Box and a 2016 Panini Certified Football Box. Over $150 worth of boxes as a prize package. Yesterday, Brad Barefoot Berm on Twitter tweeted me a picture. I got this from Leaf Pop Century, the 8x10, and can't find the same picture. It's Betty Page signed, and it's also there's another name signed, and it looks like they go $150 to $200. And all I can say about this Betty Page, va 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 boom. If you look at it, it was yesterday. it's a nice picture. So I don't think my wife would have it in our house on the wall, but
As you notice, I'm not saying anything.
I know nothing. Okay, but anyway, if you tweet me pictures of items and I use them on the show, then you get in the drawing for the boxes. And we've got Chris from Hoffman Estates on the line. What do you have there, Chris? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I got a signed Jordan 8x10 glossy, where he's in a Sox uniform at Wrigley.
Okay, so you got Jordan in a Sox uniform in an 8x10, and he's at Wrigley Field. Harry Carey's not in that picture with him, is he?
No, it's just him.
Okay, it's just Michael Jordan. I would think, in a Sox uniform in 8x10, I would think probably $300 or $400. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, obviously pending authenticity. Yes, I think right there.
Chris, did you get that in person?
No, I bought it at a card shop a long time ago with the stamp or whatever saying it's legitimate.
Now, was that Upper Deck authenticated? You always know they're good.
I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, well, yeah, the authentication is key to that. There's obviously a lot of phony Michael Jordans around, but depending on who authenticated it, it might be... Josh, do you think, would you take a by itself an MJ signed 8x10 in a White Sox uniform in a Huggins and Scott auction, you think?
We could, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would probably worth it. So it might, if the authentication passes, you wouldn't even have to do anything. Just send it to them and they'd auction it for you. If not, then they'd get it authenticated, but they do get really good rates because of the volume they get authenticated at Huggins and Scott if you ever need something authenticated. Like for instance, Josh, the Tim from Hinsdale who had all those Hall of Fame postcards and then the vintage cards that he got signed, sent away for him. Now, like, he had envelopes with the postmark from 1975 that he had written the return envelopes and they sent them back. But I said, that doesn't really help you that much. There could have been anything. I mean, it kind of does, but there could have been something else in them. It would have been nice if they had return envelopes that the guy had actually signed.
Right,
that's
right.
Another.
Yep.
Like, I have a Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain double signed 16x20, and Bill Russell's one of the names that's signed on the authentication on the back. Yeah. I forget the name of the guy that did that signing with the two of them signed it. It's pretty neat. But
Rich Altman.
Rich Altman, yeah, that's it. And Bill Russell signed. So I've got an extra Bill Russell autograph there. I could use that into a cut signature.
I was looking at the picture, the tweet on from Tim from Hinsdale. He's got a Sandy Koufax, Joe DiMaggio signed. I mean,
oh,
that's
yeah.
Some nice stuff.
He had a couple of them that he didn't want to sell, but I think he wanted to get them graded and authenticated and sure. Slab. This one Roger Maris card was so nice.
Really?
I mean, it looked like a PSA 9 card with a beautiful Roger Maris autograph on it. And he was thinking that one and one of the Koufaxes I think he wanted to keep. But that's neat. Over the years, the popularity of vintage cards signed by the guys has really gotten big, and especially it's typically where guys will send lower grade cards or bring them to get signed because there's not much value to the lower grade card. But have you seen many now, Josh, as things are developing with that, where there's more higher grade cards that are signed also?
Yes, yes. You see a lot more. But the reality is that the condition of the autograph on a signed card is probably significantly more important than the condition of the card, because the person is looking for the autograph, not necessarily the card. The card collectors can find unsigned cards in various grades, all sorts of grades. But the signed card, those guys are looking for the autograph grade.
But I think there's maybe a new group, and part of this is because of more modern day stuff where, like Leaf, for instance, in their Best of Basketball product will have signed Michael Jordan rookie. And I think there's more people, I think there's a bigger market developing, starting with newer card collectors for higher grade cards that are signed. And I think if you look at it, like for instance, if you have a Mickey Mantle, for instance, that's a 9 card grade with a 10 autograph, well, that's going to go for more than if it's a creased or a 2 grade card with a 10 autograph.
Will it still go for more on a Mickey Mantle than a Mickey Mantle 9 by itself without the auto?
Well, that's the question, yeah. But it could. I think it seems to be developing where that's going to get bigger and bigger. I don't know. Are you seeing that also, Josh, or am I just seeing that more from guys in the store and the newer products, and they're doing a lot more buyback autographs? And the guys who get these are used to paying. Okay, here's an example. Steph Curry, a guy came in that had, this was in March when Curry was at his hottest, and he had a BGS 9.5 Steph Curry National Treasures rookie autograph patch, numbered to 99. The card's a 9.5. The autograph was only a 9 because part of it was off the sticker. But a 9.5 10, for instance, was going so much higher than an 8 with a 10 or an 8 with a 9, like way higher, like 17 to 20,000 compared to maybe 8 to 10,000. Wow. So I think guys are seeing that, the newer card collectors, they're seeing that, and some of them are thinking, well, they might like to collect a Sandy Koufax. Well, then if they're going to buy a Sandy Koufax, they want to try to get a higher grade card signed by Sandy. They're going to pay more for that. Right, I think that's developing. I'm maybe seeing that. Maybe I'm wrong, but are you seeing that at all, Josh, too?
Well, I see. You definitely see it. You're right, with the newer stuff, with the newer cards. And Beckett does both the card grade and the auto grade, and very much so on the new stuff. The older stuff, they've actually, and I just picked up for the October-November auction, we got a 1957 top Sandy Koufax card that was signed and graded and slabbed by PSA.
Yeah.
But they didn't even grade the card. If the auto grade was a 10.
Okay.
So the autograph on the card was a 10. But they don't even put the grade of the card on the slab on vintage cards.
Well, they do, though. I mean, there are examples that they do that. But I think if, especially when guys have lower grades, they don't want to pay to have the extra done. They don't want the card grade on there. But, like, I just saw it was a PSA 7 card with a 10 autograph on a vintage football player. So I don't know if they're still doing it, but they have done it, because I've had the cards in, you know, multiple times. But I don't know if they're still doing it. Now, I saw an SGC that was like that, but a lot of them were just authentic, and also a Beckett vintage grade. So maybe you have to request it, and maybe they pay more. I'm going to have to call the three grading companies this week and see what their up-to-date is on that and get that info back, because that might be changing. I know a long time ago, PSA did it for sure. We had Steve Grad on one time. This was a long time ago, back on Saturdays. And they were doing it at that time. Maybe they stopped doing it and started it back up. I don't know. But there are cards out there, if you search it, that you'll find that there is a card grade and an autograph grade. And, like, for me, I've always been like, well, if I'm going to get it, I mean, I will definitely pay more for a PSA 7 card with a 10 autograph of the same guy than for if it's all beat up card, which a lot of them are like that. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that develops over the years, but I will try to get in contact with all three of the grading companies and see what they do on vintage. We know that Beckett does it on the newer cards, and that, you know how big that is, Vince, how important that is.
It'll be interesting to see how the industry defines it and sees what they want to do in the next decade or two.
How it moves along.
Absolutely.
It does definitely seem like the vintage card signed market has gotten bigger, whether they grade the card or not, though. Very popular. Coleman from Delaware's on the line. Are you in the Chicago area, or are you actually in Delaware?
I'm in Delaware listening on the ESPN app.
All right. We like to hear that.
Cool. Yeah, I picked up about 125 baseball, football, and basketball card wrappers from a flea market and wanted to know if I got anything good.
What years are they from?
Primarily the 70s. I've got a bunch of 78 Tops, 75, 74s, even some early 70s football and basketball, too. So I know there was a demand for the wrappers, sometimes even more than the parts.
Yeah, well, there is a demand for wrappers. I don't know about if the demand's there yet for the 70s. I mean, I'm sure there is some value to them, but have you noticed them taking off like some of the 50s stuff is yet, Josh?
No, not yet. The wrappers from the, certainly from the 40s, 50s, and even some of them from the 60s are creeping up there for sure. The 70s haven't quite gotten there yet as far as the desirability and the demand.
But Coleman, it definitely seems like a good thing to hang on to and keep in really good shape, because who knows? Look at how all of a sudden 1976 Tops unopened packs and boxes, you know, how that stuff's taken off. So who knows how the wrappers, typically if the packs get so high you can hardly afford to open them, then the wrappers are probably going to follow along, not to the extent, but there still could be value to them. Be interesting to see how that goes along too. I found a wrapper. I had saved a wrapper from an old 60s pack that I opened It was a graded pack. I had to cut into it and open it. And the best card that I got was a checklist. And an unmarked checklist in a high grade, even at the time, this was probably 10 years ago, was selling $500-$600. And mine happened to be right next to the gum and was like rotted through, bubbled and rotted through. It's like, how could you ever chew that gum after seeing that? But yeah, I found that wrapper recently. That was kind of cool. So there's a little bit of value to those. I think that wrapper's worth like $20 from the mid 60s. And we have Ryan from Montgomery on the line. What do you have there, Ryan?
How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good.
I had a quick question. I know it's not as big as some of the things you deal with, but I found a hardened piece of rubber that my father got me an autograph from Hank Aaron a long time ago, and I was just wondering how valuable Hank Aaron's autograph still is.
Hank Aaron's autographs are good, but what did he sign here? Oh.
Click.
He said, I didn't hear what he signed. I thought it sounded like a tire or something. But anyway, Hank Aaron autographs are very good. He's in a lot of the Topps products with random, for instance, I think 2016 Topps Tribute, he's in there. And his cards still command, you know, he'll usually sign maybe 25 or 50 of them, and they'll go $200-$400. So Hank Aaron's autographs are always good. Single signed baseballs are solid. Now we only have a couple minutes left here, so let's get to some more, give updates on some of the items that are in the Huggins and Scott auction. Now don't forget, go to HugginsandScott.com. Bidding ends August 11th. That's Thursday, right, Josh?
Yep, Thursday night, Tom.
And is that Thursday night so people can bid, get their bids in early, and then if they have to keep bidding, they can go through the night if they have to?
Yeah, it usually doesn't end up that late. You know, and because we close the auction, each item closes independent of the other ones, so we don't keep the whole auction open. Lot is still going late, other ones close at, you know, at earlier. But you have to have your initial bid in on anything you want to bid on at the end by 10 o'clock Eastern time, so 9 Central.
On this Thursday night. Here's a quick rundown for a few items. Alex Ovechkin, game-worn jersey from his first NHL game with NHL letter of authenticity, $5,100. That's cool.
Very nice.
Listen to some of these rookies. SGC 6, Clemente rookie, $1,700. PSA 8, Nolan Ryan rookie in a PSA 8, $3,900. Wow. That's doing really well. SGC 5, Ted Williams, 1939 play ball, $1,500. 1952 tip top bread, Mickey Mantle, PSA 1.5. Only 4 have been graded, $6,800.
Wow, very nice.
So, Vince, time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Roger from Watsika. So, Roger, email me your address, vince@arcdelivery.com, and I'll overnight it this week's prize to you, vince@arcdelivery.com.
All right, very good. Now, don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. Bidding ends Thursday, August 11th, Thursday evening. Josh Wilkin, thanks for joining this week. Great job. And then Eric Ostrowski.
Thank you.
Another great job by you. And don't forget, I'm Tom Morgan at Triple Crown in Naperville. I'm there like 6 days a week, and people can bring stuff in and show it to me. So have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.